Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. Welcome to our show where we're getting to know the inspiring leaders who are transforming the manufacturing industry. Which brings me to today's guest. I am very happy to be speaking with Ben Gaskill. He's the co-founder at Everest Ice and Water Systems. Ben has over 25 years experience in his domain, and he's an expert in helping capital equipment organizations become very successful. Everest Ice and Water Systems has been growing very quickly with a three-year revenue growth of 850%. It's a company manufacturing ice and water vending systems that's been in the business for nearly 20 years. But when it comes to the ice industry, they're doing things a little differently, and that's making all the difference. Ben, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to talk with you today. You know, most of us probably have experience walking up to an ice vending machine, you know, maybe to load up the cooler before a road trip or backyard barbecue, or maybe even, you know, as business owners who've invested in ice and water vending machines. But tell us your story at Everest Ice and Water Systems. How'd you get started?
Well, got started because frankly, I saw a need. We believe that this is a space that can be easily disrupted. The way that ice is delivered to the end user today isn't much different than the way it was done in the 1800s. They used to chop up chunks of ice, throw it in the back of a horse and buggy and take it into town. And today they're manufacturing ice in a large plant and putting it in a diesel truck and driving it all over town, which has a heavy carbon footprint. And then you end up with a product that's frankly old. What we believe is that ice and water vending is the way that ice will be delivered to the consumer in the future, that we can make a better product, fresh and on demand at the point of use where the customer is. So we really saw this as an opportunity and something that we believe is, again, the future of the way this will be done.
Yeah. And so your company has a different approach, right? So you said it's an older industry, but you have transformed the industry and you're really leading the way. It's been around for quite some time. You said the 1800s, I'm sure, you know, even longer. But at Everest Ice and Water, you seek out new technologies. You are comfortable changing the game. You have a different business model. Can you talk about what makes your organization unique?
Yeah, you know, ice delivery has been around for many, many years. The ice vending industry is kind of a 23-year overnight success. It's really been around since about 2000, but really over the last 4 or 5 years, it's kind of an exponential growth. People are understanding more and more what an ice vending machine is. But when we looked around at who was in this space, our competitors, they all kind of copied the original design, and there wasn't a lot of forward thinking. There wasn't a lot of embrace of technology. And so that was important to us. So we've embraced technology in many ways, primarily in the design of our machine. We have a patent. It's called VersaVend. It allows us to accomplish with a single moving part what everyone else in the industry takes 15 or 20 moving parts to do, which is simply to dispense ice to the customer. So it makes our machines much more reliable and just an easier ownership experience for our customers. So we also have tried to embrace technology when it comes to energy efficiency. We have a component in our machine that recycles the water going down the drain and uses that water to pre-chill water coming into the ice maker for the next batch, which makes the ice maker 30% more efficient. We've tried to embrace technology with the sanitation. So we have an Everest Ice Shield, which is an ozone disinfection system to make sure that everything that is vended from our machines are safe. So in all those ways and more, we try and be forward thinking and not just do it the way it's always been done.
And what technologies or methodologies or different approaches did you use when you were developing the patent, the energy efficient different technologies? What did you use in the business to maybe as you're going through the planning process or to the development process?
Well, I think that we just started looking at the problem. I'm kind of a fan of the idiom, how do we eat an elephant one bite at a time? And so we started looking at what are the pitfalls of what exists in the industry today and how can we improve on that? And so when you look at, you know, it's a better product made fresh and on demand, you want to make sure that it's safe for the consumer. You know, that's a key component of this, is that the ice and the water that's delivered has been disinfected and it's safe for the people to use. So we started looking at that and trying to determine what technologies would allow us to solve that problem. And we were able to develop some that did just that. And same thing, you know, I think being green is something that's super important. The way that ice is delivered today is the opposite of that. It's very heavy carbon footprint, you know, diesel trucks driving all over the place. So we're already a much better alternative to that at making ice at the point of use, but we really wanted to take that a step further. How do we make it more energy efficient, which in turn results in less cost to the machine owner? So recycling energy seemed like a good place to start. And so we've been fortunate to hire some very bright people that have helped us along the way. I'd love to take credit, but it's not me. We just happen to be fairly good at assembling talent.
That's interesting because, okay, so you're talking about being green, energy efficiency, and I've been doing some reading. It's not just, you know, the energy efficiency and green. You also are focused on the community in different ways. So I understand Everest Ice and Water, you take great pride in being made in the USA. You even ensure components that are made by the company directly are sourced by American-owned companies. With such a focus on developing your local community, what kind of impact has that had on your business?
Well, I'd like to think that on our business, it's certainly been positive. It's, you know, once you set your mind that this is the way that we're going to run our business, then it's just a matter of, you know, finding the best that we can find, the best that, you know, our local community or even America has to offer and incorporating it into the machine. It's kind of, if you just are looking in the United States and that's the way you're going to run your business, then it just becomes a little easier. So I'd like to think we've had a good impact on our community. It certainly has had an impact on us. You know, we're very fortunate that we're in an area where we have a major university in the University of Central Florida where we can source great engineering talent. And we've got a good pool of manufacturing talent. You know, can be a challenge to make things in the United States when most companies are going the other way, but we certainly take pride in doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about that incredible growth number, 850%. How have you done it? And as you've grown, what are some of the challenges that you faced?
Well, growth always has multiple challenges. We need to ramp up our supply. And as everyone is aware in the world that we live in, last year, that was a big challenge, trying to make sure that our suppliers could keep up with our demand when they were struggling at the same time to source their own components. So we've diversified our supply chain. You know, this is something that's super important to not be dependent on single source manufacturing. So not only do you have to go source one company that makes the part that you're looking for here in the United States, but you need more than one. So that certainly has been a challenge, and we've met that by, you know, again, it's hiring people that are good at that. You know, we've got a great purchasing team that's able to rise to those challenges. You know, staffing is certainly an issue. That's, we're continually hiring. And, you know, right now, America, and I don't know the number, but it's the lowest unemployment in 50 years. So it can be a challenge to find the people. So what we found is we're just going to have to pay a little bit more. We're going to have to be a company that understands good talent is worth paying for. So we take great pride in promoting from within. I think we ran on a streak of 8 or 10 hires in a row that were internal references. So people that worked at our company that said, hey, you might want to talk to my friend, family associate, and bring them in. So, you know, that certainly can be a challenge. You know, growth is a good problem to have, frankly, beats the alternative, right? So even just trying to find space to grow your company, you know, coming out of the pandemic and as manufacturing is booming in the United States. So just trying to find a location, we're now in 4 separate buildings, all within about 1/8 of a mile of each other. We're about to take a 5th one on, and we've quadrupled our square footage in just a little over a year. So that's a challenge, finding, you know, a place that you can conduct business. So we'd love to be everybody under one roof, but we had to grow in this fashion and it's worked for us. But that's a goal moving forward, that we'll have a big enough facility where everybody can be under one roof. But for right now, we've got, you know, account management and service and manufacturing and sales and marketing are kind of in separate buildings, all kind of on the same campus.
Got it. Okay. So as your team is continuing to grow, which, by the way, congratulations, that is exciting. as you're continuing to grow and maybe they're in the different locations, how do you make sure everybody's on the same page? Do you have different applications that you use to make sure you're communicating with each other? Or maybe, you know, even within the manufacturing operations, what's happening when, communicating with customers? Can you talk a little bit about the tools you use?
Yeah, I think communication is key. So, you know, we use things like Slack and Google Meet and Google Chat. And there's all sorts of things that we do internally so that, you know, you're not having to get up and go to another building to ask a question. So we try and embrace technology as much as we can. And then we have lots of other programs, you know, things like Fishbowl on the manufacturing side and ActiveCampaign as a contact resource management tool. And so we try and bring in technology. We use other programs on our service department so that they know, you know, the history of clients. And so, you know, the technology is out there. Certainly that's, if you need an application, it's available. The challenge is to not become too heavy in that. So, you know, you don't want to have a $20,000 a month bill for all the technology. You've got to be smart about it and what works for you. But we also try and foster a team environment. We have monthly lunches where we bring the whole company together and feed everybody lunch. We have it catered and we talk about the company and we recognize individuals that have gone above and beyond that are, you know, employees of the month. We're big enough now where we can't just have one. And we do quarterly events, whether it's golf or bowling or what have you, just to foster a team environment and make sure that everybody understands, although we're in different buildings, that we're all part of the same team.
That's really special to have that focus on the team, because that makes all the difference, you know, ensuring that they feel part of something bigger and have that kind of culture. That's great.
100%. Without employees, we're not a company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that we are as much as we can be employee focused.
And when you mentioned your supply chain, that all of the suppliers that you work with are American owned, and it could come with its challenges, right? How do you communicate with your suppliers?
Oh, goodness. That is happening on a minute by minute, day by day basis. There's, you know, everything from what our expectations are to making sure that we're ordering far enough in advance so that we're not causing our own problems. We need to make sure that we're buying enough inventory. And of course, you know, as you're growing, that's another challenge where it's a very cash intensive to grow, because you have to be able to put the money out there to buy the inventory that you need to build the product that you're selling to keep up with the demand in the public and sales. So that's been a challenge. So yeah, a little bit of everything, I think, but we have to hold your suppliers accountable. You have to be very clear in your expectations. If you're both not speaking the same language, it doesn't help. They need to understand what our expectations are, and they're very clearly communicated, and they need to be clear in what their capabilities are, because if we don't know, then you run into a problem later on down the road when you're expecting a delivery. And if you have 300 parts in your machine, and we don't, that's much, much less, but just picking a number out of thin air. If you have 300 parts for your machine and you only have 299 of them, you don't have a machine.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge, is to make sure that they all arrive on time as expected. Quality is control is there. So it's, you know, that's all about what it takes to run a manufacturing company.
Yeah. I mean, what a balance to have to strike, being able to fulfill your orders, making sure you have all the supplies on time, and then, you know, delivering to customers when they expect it. That's tough. That's really hard. I admire, you know.
It is. But, you know, look, I think the key for us has been putting on a layer of talent in between ownership and kind of management on a director level, people that have experience in this, because there's no way that somebody starts a business and can be an expert in manufacturing and human resources and supply chain and purchasing and training and on and on. But you have to be, not only do you have to invest in your product and invest in inventory, you have to invest in the people, because without the people, if you don't have talent, you're going to run into trouble. So that's kind of what we understand what we don't know, and we try and go hire people that know what we don't know.
Yeah. So as you're bringing on talent and they start to experience your company, your culture, the applications that you've invested in, thinking about the digital technology, what impact has it had on them?
Well, you know, I think technology is only as good as the people that are operating it, right? Yeah. You can have the greatest program in the world, but if you're using it incorrectly, if you're not training people on how to use it, then you're not getting what you need out of that bit of technology. So it's super important that you understand who your employees are, you understand what their bandwidth is, you understand what their capabilities are, and that you don't lay in, for example, technology that's over people's head or too difficult to use. You want to make sure that the training is there. You want to make sure that it all talks to each other, because that's a challenge. So I think it's more about certainly listening to your employees, understanding your employees, and then once you've made a decision as to what piece of technology you're going to bring in, to make sure that you're doing the training that's necessary so that it can be used effectively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. Okay. So you are really at the forefront of transforming an industry that's been otherwise, you know, pretty stagnant. So this is inspiring. You know, you've had the courage and that vision to really drive this change. I imagine it's really rewarding too, to see it really pay off in terms of revenue growth, happy customers, a happy growing culture and team. I want to talk about what's next. What's next on your radar as far as technology or opportunities within ice and water vending that you're excited about? What do you see on the horizon?
Well, I think the main thing that we're starting to see is interest in ice vending as an alternative to ice delivery from the largest chains. So we're engaged with quite a few of them. So I won't name names, but some of the largest chains that you can think of in those spaces, convenience and grocery, typically they've been kind of okay with just business as usual. We'll have ice delivered, we'll sell it, you know, we'll just keep doing that. And they're now kind of aware of this new technology and a new way to do things, and they're starting to embrace it. They're asking for, you know, quotes would be a simple term, but engaging with us to see how they can incorporate our technology into their stores. And we're not only seeing this in the United States, we're seeing this internationally. So it sometimes, like I said, 23-year overnight success, right? It takes a while for an idea to be out there and get to the point where it can be small enough, efficient enough, where it makes sense. And then it takes a little while for it to be adopted. But once it's adopted by one of these large chains, I think it'll go to all of them. You know, the convenience and grocery is, of course, an incestuous business. They all know each other. And so as they see somebody doing it, then I think everybody will do it. So that's the exciting part. We're growing a segment of our business internationally that has never been there before. And so that's the next step, I think, is, you know, look, we're going to do what we do every day. We're going to try and take over the world. No, I'm just kidding. We're excited because we've understood this opportunity for a very long time. And we're finally starting to see that people at the highest levels of the largest corporations that actually sell the product we make, ice, are starting to embrace this technology. And so that's the future, I think. And I firmly believe that just like Redbox for a while was where you would go get your videos, we think that the Everest Blue Box will be where you go to get your ice in the future.
That is so exciting. I see that for you, especially with the foundation that you've built, the strong group of people, empowering them with technology. This is really exciting. Can I ask you, I think you've already shared quite a lot of advice, but yeah, what advice would you give to other manufacturing leaders or maybe those in the space who are also faced with, you know, making a maybe a risky decision with disrupting an industry, you know, doing something different that hasn't been done before? What would you recommend?
Well, I would tell you, typically without risk, there is no change. So that's the first thing. If you're not willing to absorb some risk, take on some risk, you probably shouldn't be in manufacturing. You probably shouldn't be in whatever space you're thinking about. But I think probably the biggest piece of advice is my business partner, Dan Dorimal, and I work very well together. And one of the reasons is because what I bring to the table, sales and marketing, is not what he brings to the table, which is operations and accounting. So when we get together, we kind of make one great person. We're kind of two halves, right? So I think that it's important for people to understand what their shortcomings are, to be able to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. And then, hey, if you can find a partner that's got what you don't, that's great. But if you can't, you got to go out and hire it. You really just got to go find the people that bring to the table what you don't, because there's no way you're an expert at everything. And so that's probably my biggest piece of advice was, you know, take some risk, be smart about it. Don't jump into the pool without a life preserver, but jump in the pool and then try and surround yourself with talent that brings to the table what you don't.
Great advice. Great advice. All right. Well, that was such a great conversation. As we wrap up, Ben, can you tell people where they could go to learn more about you or Everest Ice and Water?
Absolutely. We've got a fantastic website. It's called everesticeandwater.com. You spell out the and, everstysonwater.com. And you can take a look at our product. You can run calculations as to what type of ROI you might expect from owning one of our machines, or if you're a convenience store owner, what type of return or advantages can you have over your current ice delivery model. You can see our equipment. There's blogs, and we have a YouTube channel. There's just more information out there about us. If you wanted to research, I bet you could spend weeks with the amount of content that we have there to educate the consumer so that they, when they contact us, they know what they're looking for and that they know what we bring to the table. So I encourage anybody to take a look at us.
Thank you so much. I think we'll all be on the lookout for those blue boxes.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to my guest, Ben Gaskill, the co-founder at Everest Ice and Water Systems. We all look forward to seeing what's next.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.